Desire. Do you remember that U2 song, Desire? I'm not going to sing it for you. But some of the lyrics of that say, I'm a fever when I'm beside her. The fever is getting higher, burning, desire. As we begin this Lent and we see Jesus tempted in the desert, we're being asked to look at, to consider our desires, the things that attract us, the things that cause a fire to start burning in our hearts. I've been reading Dante's Inferno from the Divine Comedy. One of the great insights that he has here is that all of the people that he encounters in hell are there because of the things that they loved. Not because of hatred, but because of what they loved. Because of what they desired and grasped after, things that were not of God, not the highest good. It's desire that they have given into, the thing that they loved, that has put them in the place that they are. Now the great irony is that desire, right, is a gift of God. God has placed desires in our hearts in order to lead us to Him. And so that desire for us, we can allow it to become a fire, either a fire that destroys or a fire that's the sacred fire that leads to eternal life. The scriptures talk about this, what it is that we seek after in our concupiscence, in our sin. It's called the triple desire, the triple lust, or the triple concupiscence. And we'll see this shows up for Adam and Eve, it shows up for Jesus in the desert. But just to summarize it as we start, in John's letter he says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Okay, so this triple concupiscence, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. We could probably substitute in the word desire for lust there. Okay, these things, when they are not of the Father, they're of the world. These are the things that pass away. We try to attain them, but they can't last. And our desire becomes that fire that destroys. But if our desire is set on God and the things of God, he who does the will of God abides forever. Now, so where do we see this triple concupiscence? From the very beginning, Adam and Eve in the garden, they were made for friendship with God. They were made to be one with Him. And yet, they doubted and they listened to the deceit of the enemy. So after this exchange between Eve and the serpent, we hear the summary of what Eve is processing. It says, the woman saw that the tree was good for food, pleasing to the eyes, and desirable for gaining wisdom. In other words, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The tree was good for food. She saw that it could satisfy her fleshly desires, right? It was going to be tasty. It was pleasing to the eyes. It was so beautiful that she wanted to possess it. She wanted it to be hers. She wanted it to belong to her. And it was desirable for gaining wisdom. And here the enemy says, you can be like gods if you eat this. you can, you know, he's trying to appeal to their pride, to their desire to be greater, to their desire to be the greatest, to their desire to be independent and not need God anymore. And we see that Eve, Adam is by her side, he is complicit in this act, and gives in to this temptation. From that moment on, as St. Paul is talking about, sin is part of our human story. It's part of what we all experience. This triple concupiscence belongs to all of us. We desire these things, even though in our reason we can say we know that they're wrong, we know that they're passing away, we know that they're fleeting, we know that they're not of God. We still desire them. Now, when it comes to Jesus, right, we see that he has taken on our human nature. And in the letter to the Hebrews, it says that he was tempted in every way, yet without sin. Right? He has become our high priest, not one who is unlike us, but one who is like us. And we see this so clearly as he has just been baptized and he goes out into the desert. He's fasting for 40 days and he's tempted by the devil. He's tempted in the same three ways, this triple desire, this triple lust, this triple concupiscence. First of all, the lust of the flesh. He's been fasting for 40 days. He's hungry. Scriptures tell us this, should be obvious, but it's to reiterate for us that he is a human like us. I'm hungry after 40 minutes, okay? And after 40 hours, I don't know. I don't know. You wouldn't want to be around me. But 40 days, Jesus must be desperately hungry. And so the devil puts before him this temptation, the lust of the flesh. Turn this stone into bread. Satisfy your desires. How delicious the first bite of food would be after 40 days without eating, right? How pleasing it would seem. Then, we'll skip to the last one. The devil takes him up on this high mountain, shows him all the kingdoms of the world. And it says, it shows him the kingdoms of the world in their magnificence. How beautiful, how pleasing it must have looked. What a wonderful creation, what a wonderful world. And he says, all of this can be yours at the low price of bending a knee and worshiping me. This is the lust of the eyes, the desire to possess, the desire to be in control. And we see revealed a few things here. One is that Satan is the ruler of this world, as the scriptures tell us. He, at least to a certain degree and in a certain sense, has this to offer to Jesus. And I'm sure it was something attractive, something that Jesus desired. I don't want the world to be under the control of the enemy. I want it to belong to me. His desire, our desire, the lust of the eyes, to possess, to take hold of, to control. Then thirdly, which is the second one in this series in Matthew's Gospel, the devil takes Jesus up to the parapet of the temple and says, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. The angels will take care of you. Your own scriptures, your own word says so. This is the temptation of the pride of life. The temptation of Jesus' identity being revealed to the crowds gathered there in Jerusalem at the temple. The fact that he who looks just like us, an ordinary man, would be seen and known and exalted as the Son of God. So we see that Jesus is tempted in every way. Jesus is like us. He experiences temptation as we do. And if we think about it, all the temptations that we face, though they are different and various, they all fall under these three categories: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So why does Jesus go in the desert? Matthew tells us that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. Why? Well, I think that it's one, so that he can show his power over the devil. He can show us what it is like to be victorious. We can see that he has the power to overcome these temptations. But two, I think it's even more to teach us what to do and how to move against temptation in our own lives. So let's briefly examine a little bit more what that is to move against these temptations. The lust of the flesh, the desire to have our fleshly desires satisfied, for food, for comfort, the satisfaction of sexual desires, drink, drugs, all of these things. When Jesus is tempted in this way, what does he do? Well, he says, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. He has this desire, you know, he has a need even to feed himself. Yet he recognizes that there is a greater desire and a deeper need, a higher reality. He needs to be fed on that higher plane. And so it is for us. We are body and spirit. What good does it do to feed the body if our spirit is starving and will die? St. Paul said, think of what is above, not of what is on earth. So the way to move against this temptation, these temptations of the flesh, which we all experience on a daily basis, means that we feed the spiritual life, feed our spiritual desires, look to what is higher, the higher good, the greater good. Secondly, that lust of the eyes, this desire to possess, the desire for money, for material things, for status, for success. We see that when Jesus is faced with this temptation, he just directly resists the devil. Go away, Satan. I will worship the Lord, and him alone shall I serve. You see, to worship and to serve is to give away, right? To give away one's autonomy, to give away one's freedom, to put something or someone else ahead of us. So it's a way of moving against this desire to possess and to control. It undermines this illusion of our sovereignty and that we can be in charge. Then when faced with the temptation to the pride of life, which for us might be to have a good reputation, to be popular, to gain the respect of others, to be the center of attention, or the one who gets to make all the decisions. What does Jesus say? In all of these, of course, he responds with the Word of God. But he basically says, don't test the Lord. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. You see, when we have this desire, when we have this pride, when we want to be greater, when we want to be recognized, basically what Jesus is saying is take the other path, the path of humility. Accept your circumstances as they are. Don't test the Lord saying, well, if I'm your favorite one, if I'm your chosen one, if I'm your elect, why don't you raise me up? Why don't you exalt me? Rather, the path of humility is to accept our circumstances as they are, trusting in God's providence that He has given it to us. And we need not grasp for anything greater. We need not, in our pride, seek to exalt ourselves. So Jesus has been tempted in every way. We experience temptation every day of our lives. We have this triple desire, this triple lust, this triple concupiscence. But if we follow Jesus' path, He can increase the good desires that God has placed in our heart. And instead of feeding that fire which destroys, we can feed that sacred fire which brings life and leads us to eternity.